All right, let's see if we can get to a couple more calls. Everybody wants to spend their time with a plumber, and we've got one here in studio this morning, Chris Stanfield from Benjamin Franklin Plumbing. Let's bring Tom into the conversation from Gilbert. Good morning, Tom.
How are you guys?
Hey, really well. Let's go quick. What's your question?
I got a 50-gallon water heater. I've had the anodes replaced last year, and since they replaced the anode rods, I drain 5 gallons out every month. And since they've done that, I get a quarter cup of sediment out of the bottom of it every month. And I've never been able to get it all cleaned out.
I'll take that, Rosie.
Go ahead.
Well, the sediment oftentimes is not just sitting in there. It actually attaches itself to the sidewalls and stuff. So you're not going to get all of it out, but taking out as much as you can. The fact that you're doing it once a month, that is awesome. You may just want to run it more often. Put the hose out on the driveway and let it run, like Rosie said, till you see no more residue coming out. And just continue to do that, and that'll definitely help.
Rinse it a couple times. But if you're replacing the anode rod and you're draining that little bit every month, Tom, you're way ahead of the game. You'll be doing a good. You'll always be getting some amount of sediment out of there. So the fact that you're getting out is the clue. I've drained water heaters, and I've, you know, in my younger, dumber days, spent hours doing what I thought was a favor for these people and straightening out a clothes rod, curtain rod, coat hanger, taking the valve completely off and the water still wouldn't come out, and using the coat hanger to break it all loose and get out, made a mess everywhere. The sediment just went everywhere. So I rinsed it out, washed it out, filled it back up, and the tank leaked. The sediment was the only thing keeping the tank from leaking.
Sometimes that can be exactly what's going on.
So I know a lot of plumbers that say, look, if you haven't drained your water heater in 5 or 6 years, if you haven't replaced the anode rod in 5 or 6 years, if you haven't tested your pressure relief valve in 5 or 6 years, don't do any of this, right?
Well, I would agree with everything except for maybe that temperature pressure relief valve. I would certainly say that should be maintained.
Okay. And a pressure relief valve is going to come into play when the water temperature and the pressure exceeds the safety limits. And that needs to be plumbed by code in copper, right? It has to be in copper,
yeah.
Right? Okay. And it has to go outside. It cannot terminate anywhere inside the house.
That would be good.
Yeah. Because if it's ever activated, you're basically blowing steam out the end of that pipe. And, you know, it could cause a problem if it's inside the house.
Yeah. It releases all the pressure right there.
All the pressure, all the steam, all the heat. So make sure that's properly done. Now, if I test the pressure relief valve and it won't reseal, is it going to be leaking out of the top right there on the top of the relief valve, or is it going to be draining out the hole?
It'll be draining out the pipe to the outside.
Okay. So if you tested it and it didn't reseal properly, at least you tested it, and then you could – I mean, it's not going to be running out.
No, it'll just
be dripping
out. Yeah.
So you could then go pick up another one, get it reinstalled. But again, unless you know how to sweat copper, that isn't a job for most homeowners. That's a job for a plumber.
Yeah, it looks easy sometimes, but sometimes it can always turn into be a nightmare. But you know, sometimes, too, it goes really good.
Yeah. I've actually resealed tip pressure relief valves just by tapping the top of them with just a small, light hammer. Just tap, tap, tap.
Yep,
tap.
Or up and down with the handle a couple times. Sometimes it's just hard water deposits on the rubber seal, so if you just get that off by opening and closing it, that'll sometimes seal it up.
All right. Well, we have left an entire bevy of callers on hold. We're not going to get to this hour. Tom and Gilbert, John in New River, Garland in Glendale, and John all have questions. I appreciate y'all calling in. I promise, since you got in, you will get answers, but you're going to get them one-on-one with our plumber, Chris Stanfield of Benjamin Franklin Plumbing. Chris, thanks for coming in. Every time we bring a plumber in here, the phones light up.
It's a pleasure to come in, Rosie.
Well, we enjoy you with our ongoing mission of trying to help and educate and protect the Arizona homeowners. Folks, we're going to run up to the Crawfish Festival here this morning. If you don't have anything planned and you got a few minutes and an afternoon to kill, come on up to Heber Overgaard. And Romy should be serving the crawfish here in about 1 hour.
There better be some left.
Yeah, by the time we get there, there better be some left. Well, the last report is they were going to be working on about 2,200 pounds of crawfish, starting at noon and serving till it's all gone. I'm sure by the time we get up there, there'll be plenty. So,
plus good fresh corn and potatoes.
Good fresh corn and potatoes. Lots of activities for the kids, so you could go ahead and make this a family weekend trip. Now, folks, y'all have got to stay tuned for next week. We're going to be broadcasting live from the Outdoor Expo at Westworld. It's going to be a blast. Arizona Game and Fish is setting up a bunch of hands-on demonstrations for you to bring your kids and introduce them to arts and skills of negotiating the outdoor life of Arizona. It's absolutely a great place to experience that. And we're going to be talking with an attorney that represents the state of Arizona. I think it's the first attorney in 28 years we've ever had on the show. An attorney that represents the state of Arizona on the topic of Colorado River water. We came desperately close to coming to austerity step number one. What would have happened had we had to implement that? What happens at step number two? What happens at step number three? What happens when the river goes dry?
It's a hot topic.
Rita McGuire will be here to be talking about Colorado River water, and our friends from Arizona River Runners will be here talking about what to do on the river before it goes dry.
Fun stuff.
Fun stuff. All next week right here at Rosie on the House.
What a wonderful world.